You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, Dojo Disciples. This is the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, Denchi Mail Edition, where every other week we supplement our regular episodes with answers to your video game questions and talk about the latest releases of the Famicom Dojo video web series.
This week we talk about Midwest Gaming Classic, the Nintendo PlayStation, and why 16-bit games, in fact all retro games, cost so darn much now. More initial thoughts on Miitomo, and also another haiku.
Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
So I just got back yesterday from Midwest Gaming Classic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The first time I went was in 2009. I was selling things for Rising Stuff, as you may or may not recall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's a long time ago. And I went in 2003, maybe? 2002?
That's over a decade ago. Yikes.
I know. And they were demonstrating some Dreamcast homebrew games. And at the time, the Dreamcast hadn't been not around for that long. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it was... Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. But at that time, it was held in a high school gymnasium. Cafeteria.
Not sure that's better.
That's where it was, and the swap meet was very cool. People just bring in stuff. I remember I had to follow this guy out to his car to pick up this game that he. Wow, that sounds creepy right now. But anyway, Midwest Gaming Classic was awesome. That's where I first saw a bunch of linked. God, what type of computer was that? They were playing the game that became Faceball 2000, Music Maze. It was a bunch of linked up Ataris. It was very cool.
Nice.
MIDI Maze. That was the name of it. Anyway, so how was it?
It was good. I met up with some people. Some friends I'd met at the show before. Some friends who have also been on the show before. So
okay.
Zach Shipley was there. And I met Jody from 4CR for the first time in person.
Oh, really?
Yep. He's a hoopy frood.
Oh, I've never actually met him in person.
I got mistaken for my boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very. It's a long story. Yeah, I met some high school friends and acquaintances that were not yet common between us were inquiring.
Okay.
So we just kind of rolled with it. It was fun.
Okay.
But the number one thing that was there that was also shared on our Facebook page and Twitter a lot and through Vines.
Yes, I saw your man. You love repetitious jokes, don't you?
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, I did the Dr. Mario A bit, and I did a whole bunch of those, and I thought that was hilarious. And I did a whole video where I spliced those into it. Probably not going to do that this time. Probably going to do those vines in a whole video by itself and just throw that up there. But you'll just have to go see what I'm talking about. I'm sure we'll link it from the show notes and everything. But we're able to find the Nintendo PlayStation prototype that was there.
Yes. And you totally believe it's real now.
I didn't have any doubts. And then people were starting to post in our thread about it and they demonstrated it today. So being Sunday of the show. And I wasn't able to go for that part of it, but I guess, their Kickstarter didn't make it to make the book about it.
Oh,
so
they'd
open it up, look at the interiors. I guess the CD-ROM drive isn't hooked up. I'm getting this report from Phil Bond, who was there.
Oh, okay.
And so they weren't able to even get the Super Famicom portion of it functioning to play regular games. But I guess they ripped the BIOS already from that cartridge.
Yeah. Okay.
That you see with it. And people have already used it because it was mentioned last Denchi Mail, actually, that they had done
this. So it didn't work.
The unit itself physically does not fully function right now, and they don't know enough how to fix it.
I'm sure
they can find someone, but they're not letting this thing go basically because they know what they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was out in the hall under guard. I don't know if it was armed guard. I didn't bother to look, but it was okay. It was definitely security in front of it at all times. All
right.
But they were cool and affable and everything, and we were able to take some ridiculous photo and video.
Okay.
Around it, but it's bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
It's about compared the size of like a Model 1 Sega CD. I want to say.
Hmm.
Like by itself.
Okay.
So I'm bummed I missed that, but I got to sit in for the Retronauts panel.
Good.
Which is when Zach showed up. They talked about the Sega Master System. So I don't know when their episodes are going to come out, so we might scoop them. Of course, really? You know, everyone else who was actually present for the show would already know what the subject was.
But Tell me.
They went into the SG-1000 history and said a lot of the same things we did in our videos and other supplementals about, maybe releasing a console every year for 7 years probably wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
But they were going to do more later because they only had an hour for the panel, but they were going to add some more supplemental stuff to it later. But they had some guests who are of some renown, but I honestly can't remember who they are. the Generation 16 guy, I can't remember his name. He's bald, though. And then the other dude, SegaDoes.com, I think. SegaDoes.something. So they're both a very clever website name. So good. Look at that. That just came back to me just now.
There you go.
Good time. So, like I said, I just ran to random people, looked at some awesome things, had some fun in the museum there where they showed a lot of old PCs, like Apple IIs and Tandys and
nice.
Oh, every single.
Oh, that's the first time I got to play. What is it? A Amiga 32 CD or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they had one at their retro museum. Yeah, cool.
But I also got some cool things from the vendor room, which...
Ooh, did you get anything for me?
I got some things for you, but you didn't want one of them. I would have gotten you more, but I really didn't know what you didn't want, so...
Oh, okay.
Like, would you want Bart versus the Space Mutants? That's a game I like, but I had no idea if you like it.
Yes.
You would have? Oh, well, it's too late. I'm sorry. Next time?
That's fine. That's fine. You didn't find any copy of Blue Dragon or anything, did you?
I didn't. They were the places that had 360 games didn't have many.
Nah, that's okay.
It's not really that retro yet. I was playing Battletoads. And so I was getting interested in it's like a Super Nintendo Battletoads. Like, what's it called? Like Super Battletoads? And like, I would keep finding this game called Super Battle Tank, and I'm like, ah! And then it freaks me out. And then it's like, oh, this label's different. Oh, it's Super Battle Tank 2. Okay, ooh, well.
Super Battle Tank's a game I would like.
Really? Come on.
It's a good game. It's made by Absolute Software. It was made by the guy who made Pitfall, actually.
Oh.
I believe. At least the same company. Yeah. Yeah, I used to play it with my friends. Yeah. Yeah, why didn't you get me that?
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
I'll get right on that.
Don't worry about it. I'm coming back in the hopefully in what month was that? November.
November, yep.
And I'm gonna go nuts. I'm gonna buy all kinds of because you've picked me up something, right?
Yes. I have procured for you an NES.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I didn't notice that the door was a bit cracked.
Uh-oh.
And there's some chipping. I got it for $50, and like at this show, they were like 70 all over the place. But the aforementioned Jody is being awesome and is sending me a shell that he just has no use for.
What?
So I'm gonna fix it up for you.
That is amazing.
Right?
That's wonderful. Does the system itself work? Have you tried it out?
I have not, but I got it locally, so if it doesn't work. I should be able to. I assume you want two NES controllers too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, yep. I will make sure that you get two of those things.
That would be great. I have a off-brand one that I bought from Gaming Generations to use for my Retron 5, but I'd rather have a real one. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, definitely. And those aren't too expensive, so I can make sure I get.
Excellent.
Get that. But,
excellent. If hipsters haven't turned them all into belt buckles, stop it. Those are ours. Even alive when that happened. Stop it.
I'm sure there's like a cultural appropriation joke in there that wouldn't be that funny.
I suppose not.
Almost certainly. But yeah, we put out for some questions, so I'm sure people are going to ask us more about, well, actually, I don't know if they're going to ask us about the show or not. So let's just go to the questions then. If you have a question for Famicom Denshi Mail, or just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can contact us on Facebook and Twitter, leave a comment on one of our videos, email us at denshimail or podcast at famicomdojo.tv, or leave a voicemail at 608-492-1923, and we'll play your clip on the show.
Go first. I'm getting it up. Okay, here we go.
Luis Salemos, is he from Brazil? Is that like actually Portuguese?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. He asks, did my eyes burn with the majesty that was the Sony SNES prototype? I personally wouldn't take it. I would have broken the glass cage, picked up the console, and ran like crazy. As I mentioned, there was it was under guard, so it might.
You're saying armed in this post.
Yeah, I'm retracting a little bit.
Okay,
but right. I wanted to make the point that there was at no point did I consider trying to make off with it.
Well, then you obviously didn't want it enough.
Apparently. I mean, if it doesn't even work, like, well, I guess there's, yeah, it's the only one known to exist. And if anyone tries to offload it, that's going to, yeah. I just want to shoot a video for it, man. Yeah, it was outside the case on Sunday, unfortunately. So I could have gotten some better shots. It didn't have any glare on it. But interestingly enough, a picture of my me without any clothes through me photo.
Yes.
I think has more shares than like the whole gallery I put together.
Yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen.
So, that was also Jody's idea. So I got to give credit where credit is due there.
If I ever saw a Famicom disc writer kiosk, I mean, armed guard or no, I mean, I'm going to take the risk.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
At least I'll die doing what I loved. Yeah. Stealing large things. Okay.
So, all right. Sort of related to that, why is Sean's me telling me so sexy?
So, Sean, you have near naked me tomos as well?
Well, I did that because Jody did that, and I think Jody might have done that because you do that. I don't know. It's this whole chain reaction of improper naked me's. So this question came from Sam Dawes. He's always wondered how popular the GameCube was in Japan, since there were so many games that went under the radar in the U.S.
Less popular than the United States. Well, I don't know. Proportionally, maybe not. I mean, it sold more in the United States. It was number two in Japan rather than number three in the United States, you know?
Sure.
But that's more because the original Xbox did so terrible. But like Japan... Right. Japan was totally PlayStation 2. I mean, we make fun of the GameCube for being known as like the kiddie system, but in Japan that really was what it was. The kids played that, the adults played the PlayStation 2. And then the kids played the PlayStation 2 as well, and nobody played the GameCube. The same could probably be true for the N64. I mean, they were there, they were in shops, they made an impact, but at that time, Nintendo was synonymous with the handheld. And, I mean, you're talking about a lot of really cool Japanese exclusives that didn't get released in the United States, but frankly, most of the Western releases didn't get released in Japan. So I'd say there's probably a larger library for GameCube in the United States than there is in Japan.
Okay.
But I bought one in Japan. I was there at launch. And what was interesting was some games never, ever, 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 ever went down in price. Smash Brothers, even after the Wii U was released, was still $60.
Oy.
Like Smash Brothers Brawl, and it's still there. You know, it's still hanging on. Because games were produced in a lot lower quantities, other than the really, really common kind of garbage licensed like anime games and stuff, in general, GameCube games have held their value really well in Japan and are still quite expensive.
Bringing it back to Mimo's Gaming Classic a little bit there, that does remind me of how surprised I was by how expensive some things were.
Yep.
I mean, I of course someone had a copy of Stadium Events for $550, which is an improvement over the $900 copy for PAL that someone was trying to sell last year. But I was looking for that Battletoads game for Super Nintendo, right? And finally looked it up, and it's Battletoads and Battlemaniacs. Jody found a copy for $80 box, and I was like, I'm sure I can do better than that. And they did about 50 loose, and I was like, I don't know if I'd like it that much. And sure enough, I look online today, and it's about what it goes for.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of surprised by. There's like a copy of like Battletoads versus Double Dragon that was like 120.
Yep.
I am super surprised. Like my copy of Conker is $90, apparently.
Yep.
Just all these games that I haven't thought much about in years or really love, but like I don't realize how pricey they're getting. The cartridge stuff is starting to go up again. I don't like this.
Oh, completely. I mean most of the Mega Man games I bought, I always waited until they were kind of older, and I'd buy them for like $15-$20 new, and it's ridiculous how much they're going for now.
Kind of dovetailing with that, Zach Shipley, who like I mentioned, I hung out with on that Saturday. He's asking, is the SNES surging popularity or something? Because finding decent games at ridiculous prices seems harder. Not at ridiculous prices, seems harder than ever. Even controllers were impossible to find compared to the buckets of NES and N64. Yeah, he was telling me he was trying to find SNES controllers. He ended up going with newer knockoff versions because they just didn't have them at the show, which was kind of weird. But...
I
don't know. I don't know what the deal is there. I know that there weren't as many Super Nintendos made as NESs.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. Maybe it's that those games seem to be in that proper place for holding up really well. I don't know. 16-bit is kind of something that's kind of lasted, whereas the 8-bit stuff sometimes looks a little too antiquated. But
yeah,
like,
that's true.
But like 32-bit, early 32-bit was ugly, and then past that, you're looking at, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of classics on the system too.
Right.
I don't know. Genesis stuff is expensive too, though. It's not just Super Nintendo. It's retro stuff is just getting expensive.
I don't think there's anything specifically Man West Gaming Classic related, so I'm going to skip back down to our last set of questions, because we had a few leftovers I definitely wanted to get answers to.
Well, while you're looking, I have a letter to read.
Oh, go for it.
All right. This is a letter from a frequent commenter who always seems to be available when we ask questions, too, which is great. This is from Elijah, and he says...
The saga continues, I guess, huh?
Yes. we're gonna keep this going. This is our letters section. So, hey, Sean and Vink, thanks for answering my question regarding recommendations of MS-DOS games. So that would be 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
I will be sure to check out those games when I get the chance. Now, to answer your question on whether I was British or not, I kind of forgot we asked that question. The answer. That is sadly no. Oh, I'm. Don't you don't have to be sad. I mean, we would have loved you if you were British, Elijah. But we still love you if you were American, or heck, even Canadian, Elijah. So, see that we put that stuff in as fan service for our Canadian followers.
Nice.
All right. But anyway. And so I don't know much about British games, so I wouldn't be able to help much with a podcast with my small knowledge of old British computers. As far as old computers go, I only know information on MS-DOS and pre-Windows 2000. If you need someone to talk about MS-DOS games or early Windows games, I would love to contribute to a future podcast. Excellent. Now, about getting my dad on the podcast, I do remember this.
Yes.
I do remember that we were trying to get this guy's dad on the podcast. That would be next to impossible, as he has a job and school to attend to, and what time he does have, he uses to spend with the family or to sleep. You know what? I want your dad on the podcast more, because I think we have a lot more in common than just video games. And so his schedule is very tight. So I doubt that I would be able to get him to be in a podcast. I did let him know that you guys thought that he was a cool dad, and he said to tell you guys thanks. Well, tell him you're welcome. But no, he's that's a cool dad. But yeah, being a dad, of course, not so much time available to do podcasts because you have to neglect your family to do it. And oh, I just made myself sad. Anyway, let me read the end. I think you guys are really cool. You guys have inspired me to start filming my own videos and collect retro video games. I have been a fan of this podcast since June of last year and the web series for over a year. You guys never disappoint me. Thanks for all the awesome content you guys bring out. And I can't wait for many more years of content to come. Elijah Kark, a.k.a. Retronus Flashback. And I'm not sure if that's how they would find your videos, but feel free to buzz market it. Send us another letter and tell us where we can send our viewers to listen to and to find out once and for all if you secretly are British but are just denying it.
Yeah, and join us for part four of our five-part trilogy.
Yes. The Seven Cities of Elijah. So... did you ever watch Seven Cities of Gold, Nickelodeon? No. It was a good show. It's a really good show.
I watched The Sun Under the Sea.
I don't know what that is.
Spartacus. But... it's a French cartoon.
Really?
Yeah, it looks kind of like Funimation animation.
Huh. Did you ever watch The
Little Funimation, Prince? Filmation animation.
Did you ever watch The Little Prince?
I read the books.
Yeah, but there was an anime series. There was a cartoon series. That was on Nickelodeon or Nick Jr. or something back in the day. And I found out just recently that was a Japanese animation program. I had no idea because I was like, I was like four. So, but I still remember the opening. It was like, the little prince from outer space will catch a shooting star and something that rhymes with space. Yeah.
Well, anyway. there's a whole film version that was supposed to be released in the U.S. in like 2 weeks ahead of time. The distributor pulled out. So now it's being released by Netflix, I think.
Oh, really?
Something like that. Yeah.
That's crazy. But there was a film version before. I know I watched a film when I was young.
Yeah, there's a new one.
It's a musical.
Oh, no.
Kind of like.
All right.
Anyway, I think we're getting a little bit off topic. Thanks,
I want to go down to Mike Christensen. Okay. Christensen?
Okay. Do it.
Yeah. What do you think of Patreon? Is it good for the gaming scene or is it hurtful? Okay, so this does kind of go back to Moa's Gaming Classic because I talked with some people who were there. Yeah. Apart from just meeting friends and people I knew, some random podcast and video listeners and viewers come up just to said hi and said, hey, enjoy what you do. Keep
did
on
they
trucking.
Recognize? Did you recognize you, or did you have to be holding up a sign like "I'm Sean from"?
I wore my stamp logo shirt, so I was hard to miss.
All right.
And it's also being an idiot in front of the Nintendo PlayStation. So.
Okay. So people are like.
One guy reminded me that I actually had met him a prior year. He was in a suit. So.
All right.
As for Patreon itself, it's like we're working so hard to get the Kickstarter done. Well, for one thing, I don't want to like divert any goodwill at this point, but maybe afterwards. But
I don't know. Maybe this is a self-esteem thing, but like I have a hard time believing that anybody would want to continually sponsor us. I don't know. I mean. I know how hardcore a few of our fans are, but but I mean, I don't know. Like, I was trying to think of it, but like, do you listen to a bunch of podcasts? Do you listen to things on the MaximumFun.org network, Sean?
Aside from One Bad Mother?
Yeah, like John Hodgman
or
Bullseye.
I've heard some other shows, but that's the one I listen to the most.
But like, I'm going to finally put my money where my mouth is and start supporting them, but at a kind of a low level.
They finished their max fun drive.
They did, and I kind of missed it. But that's okay because the rewards don't matter to me as much as like just kind of voting with my wallet, if you know.
Sure.
You know about what shows I like, and I don't know. Just I've realized that I listen to at least 5 hours of their content every like month, so that's probably worth a buck an episode, you know?
Right.
And that's really good, but like at the maybe it's a self-esteem problem for me, but like I just don't know if anybody would do the same for us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the good news about that is that we put it up and no one takes advantage of it. No harm.
That's true. Really. That's true.
But you know, more for me though, like trying to think of, because you don't have to do rewards.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good idea. And I would want to. So I think we're going to get through the Kickstarter first, and then we would consider it. But like in general, I like the idea. I think it works better for bigger names than we are.
Yeah.
So we can try it.
As for hurting the industry, I don't know. Like you look like someone. You watch Jim Sterling's videos?
No.
He does the Jimquisition. If you haven't, you maybe should look. And he does a lot of other stuff too, but that's the one I mainly watch. And his main revenue stream, I guess, I'm not sure exactly, is Patreon, but it makes him beholden to no company. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So he doesn't have to worry so much about criticizing. Well, then again, maybe he does, because recently one of these companies sued him. But but I mean, in general, like he doesn't have to worry about the funding being shut off if he gives a game a lower review or something like that, or doesn't speak highly of, you know, the certain aspects of the industry in general. So in that case, I think it can be very positive. On the other side, I think that some people seem to be demanding a little too much for a little too little.
Sure.
Like I'm getting a little upset with the entitlement involved in streams of games, you know, Twitch streams or YouTube Let's Plays and something like that. I understand that video making takes time because we do it, you know. But at the same time, like, we go out of our way to make sure that we're producing enough original content that we can consider ourselves content creators rather than just a streamer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like a lot, but like when this was coming out about companies wanting kind of their cut of these videos coming out, a bit of the revenue, people were all up in arms because the content, you know, the game they've already bought the game. Why should they have to pay any more money, you know, in royalties or anything like that? But when I see it, like, I mean, you know, they didn't make the game, you know, they're just. Right. And I know, and not a cut against anybody who does that. And I watch a lot of streams like that. And a lot of my comments are, yes, pure and unfiltered jealousy of people who are actually getting paid to do that. But at the same time, sometimes when people expect to make a living doing, you know, these things through things like Patreon and stuff, and actually will hold off doing some content unless they can get up to a certain number of pledges and things like that, I think it kind of goes against this enthusiast media type thing that we're trying to develop here. And we're starting, and it starts developing more of a, you know, a network model, which I think is leaves you beholden to people, you know?
Sure.
So my short answer is I think it's great if people can make a little bit of cash doing that, but I don't know how sustainable it is, or oh man, let's try it.
Yeah, I'm not
let's try it. And then I'll be able to answer it better depending on how something like that goes. And if people are suggesting that we do that, even if it doesn't work out, thank you very much for like having the faith in us that like you could see that actually working.
Yeah,
so,
thank you, definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So speaking of the Sony Play or that Nintendo PlayStation again.
Okay.
You know, and this is going off of what Phil told me, was that it sounded like they were pretty unhappy that their Kickstarter failed, and they were still considering like doing an ebook, but it sounded kind of like they were just like, you know, if you're nice to us kind of attitude to it. So yeah, you just mentioned that about the Patreon made me think.
Yeah.
You know, of that. So see, I can tie anything into back into Mouse Gaming Classic.
Hats off. Nice. Well, I'll tie this one into sure. Yakov Adam wrote, what was the most Midwestern thing you ate there? Corn-fed steak?
Oh, I missed that one. How there did I go. Miss that? So, I mean, you know, having grown up in Wisconsin and lived here most of my life, which I don't think it's not even like a Wisconsin thing.
Corn-fed steak? I don't know.
I think a lot of the cows around here are corn-fed, so I don't think that's...
Probably, yeah, but I don't know. You never like see on the menu corn fed steak. You'd see grass fed because it's
grass fed is the thing. That's the thing you want.
Yeah,
like I had some yogurt from a grass fed cow.
Oh,
right, it was amazing.
I'm sure. A lot of the cheese factories around here use grass fed milk, and it's fantastic.
Now that's a Wisconsin thing, all right. Cheese factories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For those not listening to the podcast, some people take amusement in traveling and looking at different cheese factories and sampling their wares. Yeah, that's a thing we do, or I used to.
Deal with it.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't a thing I did when I actually lived in Wisconsin, but now when I visit, it's what I want to do.
You can't get good cheese in Japan. I know this from firsthand experience.
Japanese cheese is rubbish. I mean, you can get good cheese in Japan, but it's so expensive, and you have to go to like a cheese shop to get it. Anyway, I think we're getting off track. But let's just say, did you have any cheese curds while you were there?
I can get cheese curds whenever I want, so no.
Okay.
Jordan and I went to a Japanese restaurant. Although it was more of an Asian fusion kind of thing, because there were some decidedly Korean things on the menu.
Okay.
So.
Well, there you go.
Whatever.
Okay. You can read the next one. We got any more old ones?
Not really. I mean, there are old ones, but one led to some confusion, and the other one, you know, we didn't mention Parodius last episode about the fan service stuff, but I mean that's like fan service for Konami games, right?
Yeah.
So, totally. What were they smoking? I have no idea. I'm sorry, I can't really answer that. That was asked by Christopher Bocheman.
Yeah.
Bocheman? It looks French.
Pokemon.
No. Gotta catch him. Just Sean? Catch him. There's only one of them. A very rare type.
Here, let me read one. Paul Spicknall. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Long-time listener, frequent question asker. Okay. What was the first Famicom game you ever played that started you down the rabbit hole? Oh, gosh. Man, that's hard because, you know, most of the early Famicom games I played were the games I played on the NES, you know, previously. So
cop-out answer.
It is a cop-out answer, but like... By the time I got a Famicom, I kind of knew what games I wanted for it. But like, some of the Famicom games that I played that really, some of the licensed games maybe, like that were based off animes that I had watched. Maybe I don't know. That's a hard question. What about you, Sean? Oh, I know what it was. Disk System really got me into Famicom because I think it was wanting to play some of the Disk System games that was the reason I started collecting in the first place.
I think that's my answer too, because when I visited you in 2006 and got a Famicom for the first time, I got a Disk System also.
Yep.
And a whole mess of games, and like that just started the rabbit hole for me of actually collecting and like finding out the differences. And like I had known about it, you know, kind of peripherally, and that peripheral, and knowing that so many popular games that were only on cartridges in the US just fired off my imagination and curiosity, and
yep,
haven't looked back.
Yeah, but yeah, but to tell you the truth, I started collecting for other import systems before the Famicom. I actually had Super Famicom imports before I had Famicom imports. So, because it was so easy to mod that.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole reason. And Saturn as well. You just put this card in the top and it was really easy to mod that. So, yeah. Importing in general, I mean, led me to, of course, needing the granddaddy of them all. So. You want to read the next one?
We don't really have any questions left now. We just have more of a boast, I guess. Opposite of a pile of shame, he says.
Ah, okay.
From Nathan Cheeks. He just got 434,500 points in Donkey Kong Arcade. That's an hour and 35 minutes on one quarter.
Wow. Congratulations.
Nice. Well, tying that back in the Metal Gaming Classic, the guy before the Retronauts panel, I don't know what his thing was, but he was talking about how to make arcades profitable and reach out to new people. It's like, you don't want a really good arcade gamer because, you know, they won't spend as many quarters per hour as,
of course,
the average Rube would. I mean, customer. I don't know. We've sort of expressed our feelings on the show before about how, like, early home console video games still had a lot of arcade sensibilities that just made no sense.
Yep.
In that realm, and have since been divested. So it's like, I think part of the reason people don't go to arcades really has to do with partly the mobile gaming now, for one thing, and instant gratification there and bite-sized stuff. But spending a lot of money on gaming in like an iPhone era just seemed antithetical to the entire idea at this point.
Yep.
So if I can have a bunch of games in my pocket for less than it costs me to play something like even pinball games, you think, oh well, you know, that's physical. There were a ton of machines there that were like video screen pinball games, like enormous $7,000 things, but like theoretically you can like load up any kind of game you wanted to on that for that much money. So, but see, I brought it back around full circle. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh gosh, so many things I saw. I saw Versus Castlevania. I didn't even know existed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. I played it. I mean, it's just Castlevania.
Yeah, but...
I didn't do two-player, though. Should have asked Jody to try it out with me. But I found Versus Super Mario Brothers finally, and did indeed confirm that, well, you know what? I'm just going to do a video.
Yep. Don't spoil it.
Just do a video about that one. And, awesome. Yeah, so that's all I got.
I think that might be all I have as well. Continue sending us your questions and your letters. We are super, super happy to hear about them and read them. That's the kind of stuff that keeps us doing this show.
And now, a haiku by Mario Jumpman. Funny guy's old age. Retro review older games. Friends across oceans.
Yes, I will continue to play Mass Effect. And now people have started bugging me also about playing The Last of Us. And I picked up a copy. So I'll be getting to that pretty soon. Sean, how long does it take to beat The Last of Us?
Oh, no, I don't. I spent 12 hours game time on that, I think.
Okay.
So given that the way this game works is that there are sections that you got to play through a few times if you die.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever like got frustrated and like, I don't know. I think that's total playtime too. Pretty close to it anyway.
Okay. Well, that doesn't. I mean, I like shorter games that clock in low. But Golden Week is coming up real soon. In about 3 weeks from now. So I don't know. I don't know when this podcast is going out, but it will be the first week of May. I have about 5 days off, so I'm hoping to get some Mass Effect played, maybe some Last of Us, maybe take a nap. That'd be nice.
Nice. Yeah, this should be right before Golden Week then, I think.
Yeah. And who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? I'm just going to blow the entire 5 days typing things into Miitomo.
We should do an episode relating to that pretty soon. Now that we've had some time to digest it.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah, it's there's something. I feel like I'm in a science experiment playing that game right now.
Right? Yeah, there's some weirdness going on that we should definitely address.
Some of those questions are like, what's your favorite kind of potato chip? And I'm like, is this marketing right now? I mean, where is this data going?
I got one like, what is your region's most popular food? It's like, region, why don't you just ask me the question and then collate the data based on where I'm physically at, and then you can tell me what my region's favorite food is.
I know. Some of it's interesting, and I still feel that some of them are really geared towards a younger demographic.
And yet, I get questions like, you know, what reminds you of when you were younger, kind of thing. And I'm like,
it's weird.
It doesn't seem to know. It's like, what's your ideal first date?
Yeah. What's your ideal first date? What's your dream wedding like? And I'm like, well,
another one.
I won't make the mistakes I made the first time. You know, some of them are really, really kind of odd questions or whatever. And some of them, it's like, how can you even put a serious answer to it? Like, what's your favorite smell? Who didn't write my own farts? I mean, everybody wrote that.
I definitely have been enjoying giving a lot of sarcastic answers.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And those are the funniest ones to read too. You wrote a response that was basically a plug for Famicom Dojo, and I went really deep with my answer.
Yup.
But anyway.
I mean, I figure if that's what they're going to do with it, I can use it just as well.
Exactly, exactly. But I think it's totally working. People are enjoying it. It's having them make my Nintendo accounts. It's going to soon get me Picross. I might be almost there right now. I really think I'm close if I haven't already gotten it.
I'm there, and I've sunk a lot of time into it. Dollars I've ever spent.
I suppose, but I was just thinking, I'm like, if they were just selling that game, I probably could have got it for like $5, you know? Yeah. But, oh wow, I'm there. I could get that right now.
Dream
maybe
come
I
true.
Will I know well I love Picross and I love Zelda, so yeah.
Well, cool. I guess that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks yep. everyone for writing in. I think we've gotten through all of our questions, but it's possible we missed some as they came in. But any big events? By the time you hear this, No Brand Con will have already come and gone.
Oh no!
Yeah, it'll be over, but it should be interesting. So the World 9 Gaming guys were there, but if you missed them at No Brand Con, you can find them. I mentioned this last Denchi Mail too. You can see them at Anime Central in May.
Okay.
I think the same week as Gold. I don't know when in May it is, but yeah, it's in May usually, right? Right.
Are you going to will have gone to No Brand Con by the time the next podcast comes out?
Yes.
Oh, I see. How was it?
Well, it wouldn't have been terrible.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad.
I'm fairly certain that had been.
I'm glad to hear it. Are you doing any kind of Famicom Dojo booth that our listeners will have gone to or have
no,
missed?
I didn't get anything in time this time. Okay. So I'm probably going to just like see people. Tiffany Grant's going to be there, so I'll probably hang out with her for a bit.
That's great. Try to offer cheese again.
I probably will have hung out with her already. There may be pictures with Mies. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out how that goes.
Lots of stuff that might happen.
Yeah, probably just help out with the Nerd and Tie Expo.
Yeah.
Where I can.
Depending on how Golden Week goes, I may have attended VinCon by then.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
It's possible, but I probably won't have put a video of it together by that time, but yes.
I may have mentioned to some people who are currently there with you that they should consider participating directly in some fashion.
Yep, they've already reached out. Nice. they've already reached out. They're going to be in the artist alley of VinCon.
Excellent.
Yeah,
VinCon. I'm glad I can help.
Yes. Anyway, I think that's all we have time for today. So until next time, the dojo is...
Oh, shit. Hold on. Okay, yeah, do it again.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So until next time, the dojo is...
Real! Don't you understand? It is real! It's real! God.
Man, why did they invent Vine? I mean, just seriously. Anyway. Awesome. Well, it's been real.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our theme songs, Famicom Thrash and RPG, were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and at amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. Find us at famicondojo.tv/podcast, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. And, of course, head over to littlepodcast.com to listen to other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.